So we just saw a movie where a group of heroes come together to fight an invader obsessed with domination, flanked by his faceless army. Once the heroes win, he ascends to the sky in a beam of light. That movie is not the Avengers, that movie is the Justice League, and we just saw it, and there's so much to talk about. So, I'm not alone tonight, I'm here with the one, the only Dion Green.
Baby, back at it again, Zack Snyder, we come in for you, motherfucker.
And Kendo Slice.
I spent the whole movie distracted by Henry Cavill's mustache.
Oh my god, that opening on the cell phone?
Dude, his mouth was uneven.
Let's talk about distracting, though. What was distracting for me above all else? By the way, listeners, this is pretty good. This will be pretty much a spoiler-filled review. So real quick, we're going to give you our scale on a 1 to 10. If you haven't seen the movie and it's all you want to hear is this part, we'll tell you. So I'm going to give it a 6. Dion?
See, I actually gave it a 5.
Kendo?
6.
All right. So, listeners, if that's all you wanted to know, we thought it was just pretty much okay. So now it comes time for the spoiler territory, and there is a lot to talk about. So if you want to get in-depth, stay tuned. Okay, so we were talking about distracting. What I found distracting were all the reshoots. God damn, were they noticeable. Yes.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely tell.
It was worse than, like, fan-four-stick.
It just... Like, they can't blame all this shit on Zack Snyder's daughter offing herself. Because this even if that didn't happen, that I can guarantee this shit was not because of that. It was because they realized how bad it was. This was we watched a fucking supposed franchise-defining movie in constant damage control.
Well, I'm gonna lay this card on the table early so I can get it out of the way. I kind of felt bad watching this movie. Not because I wasn't enjoying myself, but because I felt like shit's finally starting to click, but it's just too late. Like I felt like I was watching a lot of people that were like giving their all, and it's like, you already lost the race, guys. And I have some sympathy and some compassion for him, because I don't think anyone was lazy in this movie, with the exception of the CGI Steppenwolf. I don't think anyone was a bad superhero. I thought Cyborg was all right. Like, I was shitting on the entire build-up to this movie. And when I watched it, I was like, huh, he's okay.
See, the guy who played him, I think, did a very good job. He still looked like shit. But that's why I gave it a 5, right? Because overall, it's in a vacuum, it's not a bad superhero movie. Yeah. But the fact that from the jump, DC's been like, this is our goal, to get to Justice League, and we're finally at the goal, and it is so... It being meh is a thing to take away from it. Like, you have to deduct it for being so meh. And that's what's... I mean, this movie couldn't afford to be just okay. And it's literally... Oh, my God. It's the bare minimum. And I feel... I'm with you. I feel so bad for Ben. I feel bad for all the actors. I feel bad... Dude, I feel bad for whoever wrote the movie, because you know that it wasn't... It was changed multiple times.
Yeah, like... You brought up Ben Affleck. And here's the thing. My mom went with me, listeners, which is rare. I usually don't take her to the movies, but I thought... Why not? It's something nice to do. And she had never seen Ben Affleck as Batman. She thought, oh, he's a good Batman. I won't say he's the best Batman, but I'll say he's the best Batman since Christian Bale. I know that's a stupid comment to make. But my point is, I liked him enough that I'm actually interested to see where he would go. Because I guess behind the scenes is a clusterfuck, and hey, more power to you if you want to quit. But like I said, I almost just have like this sadness leaving the movie, because I liked Gal Gadot a lot. I even liked the fucking retarded Flash. For as dumb as he was, I actually enjoyed him. His costume sucked ass, and I didn't like his fucking face, but I was entertained by
him. I liked him when he was doing shit, not when he was trying to be quirky and cool and Spider-Man from Homecoming.
Oh god, yeah.
He was by far the most annoying part of that movie. He was so obnoxious, and it's like, why, and I know I said this before when we saw the trailer, you know, why is there this incessant need to have a fucking teenage kid perspective on the whole thing? Constantly.
Well, and it's annoying.
Yeah.
Well, I have to take back a thing and apologize, because I swore that the final shot of that movie was going to be them looking at the bat signal. And it was in the it was in the middle of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, there we go. I retracted my... Well, I can't really retract it, but I'll correct and admit to being wrong on that one. Because I honestly thought that's how the movie was going to close. The movie closed like shit.
Oh, my... That was the climax of the movie, dudes. That fight with the Justice League and Steppenwolf was supposed to be the final, the boss fight. And it was so lackluster. It was not exciting, and it's bad enough that everything had to be Zack Snydered out. But I was like, we waited for Superman to show up for this.
Yeah, it was kind of disappointing because... Okay, so Superman, you think he's going to show up at the very end of the movie, but they resurrect him at the end of the first act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the second act is about, you know, them coming together as a team, him going off and doing his own thing, and then he shows up at the end, and that was the most anticlimactic ending to any superhero film I've ever seen, Thor original included.
Yeah.
Because say what you will about Thor the Dark World, at least the climax was incredible, and he fought through all those realms, and like Mjolnir was flying around trying to reach him and all that shit. Like, that was visually interesting. Nothing was visually interesting about it. And, you know, for the Justice League being, you know, bigger than the Avengers in terms of, like, intergalactic travel and, you know, visiting different realms and dimensions, they went to Chernobyl. They fought in an abandoned warehouse, essentially. Nothing, there were no stakes. It didn't feel like the world was going to end. It just happened.
And of course, and of fucking course, it had to be in that annoying fucking red tint. I don't get why every Zack Snyder film has to have this weird color filter. So, like, I was surprised that he didn't do it for the whole movie, but sure enough, when that fucking dome thing goes up and it makes, and he connects the mother boxes and it makes the sky red, I was like, son of a, he couldn't help himself. Zack Snyder couldn't fucking help himself.
Yeah, he did wipe his dick all over this movie.
Oh my god! Oh, and I felt bad because like there's some of the things that I liked, like they played up the whole Batman being the Batman of the Justice League and him trying to push Wonder Woman's buttons, and then they you know him and Superman's relationship about that was a very good job. Fucking them fighting confused Superman was the best part of the only really good part of the movie. You know, but then they just, whatever good thing happened, it would immediately waste it.
You talked about the best part. I think the part I liked the best was the fight in that tunnel. Only because I thought it was interesting.
When they're underneath Gotham or whatever?
Yeah, and I liked how Aquaman rolled in. It's weird to think I like so much of this movie, yet I'm disappointed and saddened. Like, we will talk about the Avengers comparisons towards the end, and there are a ton. I seriously watched that whole movie and thought to myself, Avengers, Avengers, Avengers. I'm watching the Avengers currently. Put it like this.
Yep.
That was the cheap version of the Avengers, and I have a really sound analogy towards the end. But when I left the Avengers, I was, like, happy. I was, like, this isn't hyperbole. I honestly felt like shit had changed in the realm of movies. Not the real world, you know, we didn't become enlightened as a society, but as a movie-going audience that accepted comic book movies, it was an event. It was the biggest thing. You walked out of it, you're like, holy shit, we're in this era. And it was awesome. I saw the movie 4 times in theaters. I fucking loved it. I just was like, oh, it was okay. The post-credit scenes were cool. I really liked both of those a lot, but those aren't part of the movie, so I can't really grade the movie on that. But, I don't know. Kendo, how did you feel when you left the theater?
Well, the boss battle to me was really underwhelming. It came off as like, you know, like when you have like a shitty battle with a boss in a video game where it's like, press this button, and it tells you which buttons to press at which times?
Yeah, quick time event.
That's how that kind of came off to me. It's like, we must do this. Click, click, click. Okay, boxes are separated. Now we got to do this. Click, click, click. Oh, hit button to engage Superman. Come in and help out. Click. Superman, come in. Fly. Punch, punch. Now send Superman to do this. Move boxes. It was just really very kind of boring, the final fight. It's like, oh, I know how this is going to go. There was no suspense to it. And the movie, same thing. There was a lot that I liked about the movie, but it was, to me, it was like really clunky.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd have some really cool shit happen, and then it would slow down to, like, a grinding halt. And then you have some cool shit happen, and then a grinding halt. And then you'd have terrible CGI.
Hmm.
was like when the plane was taken off for them to fly to Chernobyl. That was, you just like see Alfred's like head, like his hair was like being like sucked into like the horizon, and it was like, wow, they did a horrible job there.
There was so much bad CGI.
There
were so many cool things that they started to touch on but never fully explored. For example, Batman's humanity, the scene with him and Wonder Woman, and I guess that was Wayne Manor. It looked like an airplane they were on the whole time, even though it wasn't. But like Batman's room that he would like change his costume in and shit. First off, let me just get out of the way. This movie's visually unappealing. It's kind of drab. Like,
it is.
Every time I heard the Batman 89 theme, all I could imagine was the ending where Batman looks off into the distance at the fucking bat signal as that bell tolls. I was like thinking of that the whole time. Like, Jesus Christ, I want to be watching 89. I wish Michael Keaton was still Batman. That's all I could think of, like, when he was on screen. But back to my point I'm making. I'm sorry, listeners. There's just so many thoughts I'm having right now. When, they, like, Diana and Bruce Wayne had their moment, that was really interesting. I wanted more of that. The Flash was funny, but the Flash did derail a lot of that stuff. I thought Aquaman's little speech where he got honest with everybody with the Lasso of Truth, I thought that was great. I was, like, really into that.
That was hilarious.
Yeah. There was so much character development in that 30 seconds, and then it just ended.
It felt like the helicarrier scene on the Avengers. Or in the Avengers, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, the random, I tried to kill myself. I tried it, and everyone's like, wait, what? Yeah, it was very... But again, that's a perfect point. And you know what I'm going to say next, Jeff. You know why? Because Joss fucking Whedon.
Oh, God, as
much as there was Zack Snyder, you knew the Joss Whedon moments. Like, you just fucking knew them. And that definitely was, you know... And again, that was a good, but then it's like Flash, like... Oh my God, that fucking Joss Whedon, man. That fucking Joss Whedon.
The most Joss Whedon moment for me was after Batman was dropped by Superman. He goes, I'm bleeding somewhere. That just didn't fit the movie.
Yeah, that was...
And
that
my
was
audience, definitely... first off, my audience for Friday night at 7:20 was not full.
Oh, mine no, either. Full. I was talking to Brian Lape about it. I saw it at 6. There was like 20 people in there.
And... we didn't laugh as an audience at many of the jokes. Now, you know, normally I like on the podcast, I like to shit on stupid fans, but there was this woman in the crowd that clapped when Wonder Woman appeared, and then I looked over and she looked so happy, and then she clapped for Batman and Superman. I'm like, all right, well, at least somebody is enjoying this. Even though I was almost enjoying it, at least someone's invested in it. So I'm like, well, they're doing good for some people, but overall it's just, I don't know how to describe it.
Well, and it's funny you bring up that scene, because speaking of not exploring things, they mention, you know, the world kind of devolving since Superman's death, and they did that really weird musical video thing at the beginning, you know, but they don't explore it. So, like, they don't show, like, and the one thing that was really cool was a fucking religious fanatical group going to blow up a fucking city block. That was really interesting, and then she shows up. And then they don't touch on it ever again. Like, they don't explore what's happening to the world with Superman dying. And that's what really pissed me off, because it's the same thing happened in Wonder Woman when they bring up the Scottish sniper thing. And he's seeing crazy things. He keeps seeing ghosts, and then they never talk about it again. And I'm like, you had an opportunity to be really fucking cool. And that's backed by the fact that when they do the upward shot where she's standing on Lady Justice, that green screen was so bad.
Oh, God.
It was so fucking bad. The sun's behind her, but you can see the fucking set lights on her face and on her body. I couldn't believe that was in the movie.
Dude, the worst effect, or the worst green screen, was when Clark was standing out in that field talking to Lois.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Superman 78 had more convincing effects at times.
Mm-hmm.
And Kendo, you and I recently watched Superman 78, and I'm like, this doesn't.
Why didn't they just do that in an actual field? Why didn't they just?
Yeah, why didn't they? I mean, that would have been so much easier. Say, hey guys, we're gonna be out in this cornfield at fucking 6:30, 7 o'clock to get a sun going down shot of Clark being all happy to be home in the farm. Now we'll just put him in front of fucking green screen.
It was
so weird.
Cheap alternative, I guess.
I guess, but
is it really though? I mean, I can't imagine that. Putting
well, Dion, you, gotta think it, you have to think of it like this. Controlled environments are cheaper than the elements. Now, I'm not defending DC's decision. I'm just telling you why I think it is. If you're in front of a green screen, You just, you know, you don't have to worry about what you fix your white balance once you do these things, you have your settings, and then you just get a digital artist. I'm sure there are like digital assets that you can buy in just like digital cornstalk times 1,000, digital sky, night, you know, like I don't think that they had to go create all these things. I'm sure they just bought these assets and put them together to make these really lazy scenes. Like, though, there was no depth behind Aquaman when he talked to Batman. The first,
First encounter. What the fuck?
That just didn't fit there. It feels like this movie was originally a comic book, and then somebody took another comic book, cut up the panels, pasted them in, kind of angular, and they didn't fit. So you know when you're looking at a different page, but then the story just keeps going on, and then this random shit's pasted in there. It doesn't fit, and it bothers me.
Well, and it was just so weird because it's like. So even when they had the sets, the horizon in the background, like when they're on the fucking on the rooftop talking to Commissioner Gordon, like even the skyline looked like a really shitty video game cutscene.
Oh yeah.
So like it's in the background and it was distracting as fuck when they all walk up and goes, oh, you know, it's good to know that you play nice, blah 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 blah. I'm just like, that looks like the shittiest night sky. Like, the fuck, why are the clouds shaded that way? It was so distracting. And I'm just like, who looked at that? Who looked at that and was like, yep, that's worthy to be in a fucking fall blockbuster?
You bring up the Commissioner Gordon scene. I thought all the rooftop shots looked like they were on a set. Like, Batman 89, yeah. The opening may have been on a set, but that felt like a real rooftop. You know, when he's like, oh, Johnny Gobbs got ripped and took a walk off a rooftop. Like, that all looked real, and there was atmosphere. When Batman appeared in this one, I was happy because it was Batman, but it was so light, and there was a weird comedic tone between him and that crook that he stopped. It was just,
oh, and you're talking about a Whedonism, the fucking, so he stops the crook, but then the crook has this fucking epiphany where it's like, are they here because Superman's gone? What does that mean for us? I'm like, no fucking crook that got his ass kicked and used as bait is having this fucking mental breakthrough with that awkward fucking line. And the minute I said, I verbally went, fucking Joss Whedon. Well, I know that was something that he added.
Batman went from the Frank Miller Batman in BVS to the New Adventures of Batman, which was an animated show after the Super Friends, or during the Super Friends, where eventually Adam West took over the voice duties. Like, Batman was so, like, buddy, like, okay, in Batman vs. Superman, he was trying to kill Superman, he murdered people, he was fucking, like, that Batman would have knocked people's teeth down their throat. This Batman was just like, you know, I'm gonna tie you up. Like, he just, essentially, the guy could have gotten off the rooftop.
I'm not the beacon of hope shit. And that was very Batman, but yeah, I see what you're saying with that one, for sure.
And the character just switched gears. And real quick, you brought up about, while we're talking about effects and CGI and sets, Batman vs. Superman was a bad movie. Worse than this, by a mile.
Easily.
At least Batman vs. Superman looked better. Visually, the CGI looked better. Like, that scene in the rain when they fight, looks good.
Yeah.
When he's in that armor, that looks good. All the stylized Zack Snyder bullshit looks good comparatively to this one. This looks so cheap. Like, say what you will about Marvel movies. Maybe people say, oh, they look like TV shows, or they look like, you know, Game of Thrones level shit. Well, to me, maybe some of the Marvel movies aren't as cinematic as they should be, but they still look better. As a picture, they work. They are that picture that I brought out. Remember that, an old analogy? A piece of art that somebody's painted and worked on, and DC is the crayons? I feel like that's kind of come true.
It is. You know, and I mean, there definitely were still parts of Batman v Superman, like when they were fighting Doomsday, that was pretty bad. But if you took that fight with Doomsday and spread it across the entire movie, that's what Justice League looked like. I mean, The only thing that looked really legit was when he's in, you know, in Alaska or what the fuck ever, that set where he goes to first talk to Aquaman, that looked like an actual movie set. Like, it looked like they were actually there. The rest of the movie fucking, the sewer part looked really good, but so much of it, like, it's like the It's like that there were certain scenes where that was the standard to make it look like it was the location. And you can tell that there were other scenes where they're like, well, let's just get it done. Let's just get it done. Just put the fucking night sky back there. You know, we don't want it to look like the rooftop in 89 and Batman 89. No, we're not going to use real smoke and all that. We're going to use CGI smoke in the background. It's just like, oh my God. Oh,
yeah. Just,
yeah. And I'm pretty sure the Themyscira shot, when they the aerial shot, I'm pretty sure the waterfall wasn't moving. I'm almost positive. I have to look at it again. It might have been going really slow with it being so far away, but I'm almost positive it wasn't fucking moving.
Yeah, to go off of what Dion is saying, it's like, to me, this is a movie that is a marathon that they tried to sprint and get it done as fast as possible. That's how it came off. A lot of the effects. I think that the CGI and the effects and the background really let down a lot of the hard work that was being done by the people that were doing it, like the actors.
Yeah.
Because like you said, they acted like they gave a shit. I mean, like I said, my shining star award goes to fucking Gal Gadot. I thought she was the best part of the movie.
Her and Jason Momoa for sure.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Jason Momoa, I liked him when he was doing Aquaman shit, but I told Liquid Metal Pro this because they called me when I got out. They're like, you finished the movie? Because I sent them the same message. I was like, I didn't hate it, but I'll talk to you guys about it later. So then Brian called me. He's like, can you give us like a quick like whatever? I was like, well, I'm going to save it all for the channel. But I told Liquid Metal Pro, I was like, whenever he spoke or they showed him, I immediately thought Roman Reigns and immediately hated him. And Liquid Metal Pro, it's like he's doing Aquaman shit, but then as soon as he starts talking, I was like, man, it sounds like a fucking Roman Reigns promo.
Yeah, it's that weird type of masculinity they try to put in these movies. It's like, people don't act like this.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to think, you guys are giving your favorites. With the exception of Superman, I liked everybody. Wonder Woman was great. Cyborg, for what he was, for a shitty CGI character, I liked him. I liked his voice. I didn't feel like he was overcompensating. Like, oh, I'm so smart. I liked how they wrote it into the script that he's still learning his functions, because that doesn't make him overly powered. I liked Aquaman. He was fun. He wasn't... There were a couple things, like when Superman appeared at the end and he's like, yeah! Or something like that. That just didn't fit.
My man!
See, yeah. I liked that. I liked it when... That was the one part where Aquaman's actually... You know, that was probably the most personable that he was in the whole movie, especially like when... that part where he goes, yeah! And then when... He's there on the rooftop. He goes dressed like a bat. I dig it. Like that. I like that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like not canned personality Aquaman. Yes. That was just like, hey, character Aquaman. Something that like, you know, we could totally get behind.
Here's the thing too. I'll give him as a compliment. I didn't feel like they had forced chemistry. They all kind of worked together.
Yes.
As actors, as characters, I bought that they're going to continue on. I'm gonna say this and I mean it. I really want them to make another one of these just to see if they can fix the problems, because there's good shit there. There's a strong foundation, but the upper levels are just a fucking fire. Let's talk about the ending for just a quick moment. When Jesse Eisenberg was out of prison, one, he looked like Lex Luthor, so I was like, okay, I'm okay with it. He still doesn't fit what I want him to be. I really want like Bryan Cranston or someone older, but still. He looked the part. That fucking boat, the suit, I was like, yeah. Then when fucking Deadshot came on, I was like, holy shit, this is kind of cool. And you I was like, stroke? Okay. Yeah, Deathstroke. Why is he Deadshot? Deathstroke, the... Yeah.
Deathstroke. I did the same thing. I was like, is that Deadshot? I mean, Deathstroke? I did the exact same thing.
Who's Deadshot?
Deadshot's Will Smith.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, duh. Yeah, Deathstroke.
I thought that question was rhetorical. That's why I didn't answer.
Deathstroke, Deadshot, it's the same fucking name. Deadpool, will throw that in there too. I want more. Like I'm not saying that to like try to appease people or go back on what I've said about DC movies in the past. Everything I've said stays. Like Suicide Squad's a dumpster fire. BVS is bad. Man of Steel's okay at times, and I like Wonder Woman enough. But this, I really want them to see where they go next. I want to see, you know, the League of the Supervillain League, or whatever the fucking name, Legion of Doom. I want to see the Legion of Doom. I want to see all that shit. I'm ready. I want to see these actors take on this, because the Avengers are over. Next year at this time, we'll have seen Infinity War Part 1. We'll be waiting for Part 2, or whatever it's going to be called for that one asshole that listens to the channel. And then it's over for me. At least with them, I'm okay with them, and they're going to continue on as the big characters. The Avengers are done, meaning Iron Man's not going to come back, Cap's not going to come back, not Thor. We're going to have, like, the B-list team, and no matter how much they want to pump Spider-Man and Groot and all these characters that the kiddies love and the women love, there's no grandiose nature. I feel like DC, if they could just hold on enough, if this movie makes them enough money, you know, hold on and finish it. You know, give us a Justice League trilogy. Go to space. Go to Apocalypse. Fight there. Bring the Green Lantern. All these people. Keep it rolling. I really am hoping that this is like a push in the right direction for them financially.
Well, and going off of that, like you said, I mean, the foundation was definitely there. You know, and again, when they did the flashback, even though the CGI with Steppenwolf doing the thing with the axe was kind of dumb and looked shitty, when they're coming over the hill and the Atlanteans and the Amazonians and the men and the fucking Green Lantern show up,
that was cool.
I geeked for that. That was so cool. And he fucking kills the lantern and the ring flies off. I was like, I want to see more of that. I like, you know, and again, like seeing. You know, I want to see that relationship between Batman and Superman. I think literally you have legit chemistry between Gal, Henry, and Ben. Like that's legit shit right there. And I enjoyed watching them on the screen. You know, outside of like the random little plot things that piss me off, I want to see them fight Darkseid. You know, outside of Jesse Eisenberg, the sound of his voice. Like you said, he looked like Lex Luthor, like that, like the having him, you know, replace the dude in the end, and the guard's like, I'm gonna come in there, and it's an old crazy dude, like that was the first Lex Luthor thing that he did in this entire franchise.
I thought that was like Lex Luthor. I thought that was gonna be a nod to the Joker, the way the guy was laughing. I was like, oh shit, are they gonna bring the Joker into this? No, but either way,
yeah, maybe he will. We can dream. We can dream. But
yeah, can we get a new Joker?
Yeah. Wait, which Joker are we talking about? Are we talking about the cup Joker, or are we going to get like a real one?
Can we get Joseph Gordon-Levitt to play the Heath Ledger Joker? They look the same. Just, you know.
And he's a good enough actor. He'd be able to pull it off.
Yeah, he's a very good actor. He's as good as Heath Ledger. I'm not saying for that role they'll be the same, but as overall career-wise, Heath Ledger, not everything he played in was good. I know people like to remember him for his last role as the Joker, even though he was in that Dr. Parnassus or whatever the movie's called. But my point is, he'll always be remembered as the Joker, and that was his best role. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt has done great shit outside of playing Robin, so whatever. So, yeah, I mean, everyone was cool. I liked Alfred's part. I still like Michael Goff as Alfred, you know, your grandpa Alfred that actually loved Batman, and that was cool. Mm-hmm. Michael Caine, I love to shit on him as Alfred, but he's still fine.
I think he's the best Alfred, Michael Caine, but
I think Alfred, he was the best Alfred in the first movie. Because he didn't try to give so many speeches, and he wasn't as big a part as in the movie.
No, that's fair. That's definitely fair.
That's why I kind of shit on Michael Caine, because I think Michael Caine's a great actor. I've watched some of his older stuff, and I actually love Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That movie's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
10 out of 10, loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like how...
He's all right in Jaws the Revenge.
Now you're taking it too far. Mario Van Peebles would disagree. No, but I mean... And J.K. Simmons, I loved him as Commissioner Gordon.
He was like, good. He was really good as Commissioner Gordon. Like that, you know, it's great because you can tell J.K. Simmons does, you know, his Commissioner Gordon is nowhere near J. Jonah Jameson. And it makes me want to bow down to J.K. even more. I'm just like, God damn, you can act, motherfucker.
And
you
know, got range.
The motherfucker's got range. That's a perfect way to put it, man. Damn. But then again, that missed opportunity. Oh, we've had a bunch of kidnappings from people from Star Labs and blah, 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 blah. And then they just don't mention the shit going on in Gotham anymore. I'm just like, for me personally, the fight with Steppenwolf would have been better. And instead of this happy-go-lucky Flash Superman racing, I would have been like, hey, Justice League, like, it's to the next job. We're trying to we're trying to put out all these fires now. Like, that should have been the ending, like, a true open-ended, shit still going on, we got a lot of work to do ending, instead of this fucking rosy-ass, underwhelming fucking ending.
Can I say something that's super controversial?
Two Please. Things.
And it's about Thor Ragnarok. I would rather watch the Justice League again, even though I think Thor's a better movie, and I think both of the post-credit sequences in the Justice League top both post-credit sequences in Thor.
Ooh, that is very
And I stand by, because first off, Jeff Goldblum was great, but we're at a point where they're just, like, enjoying the smell of their own farts, where these things are just too self-indulgent. I liked the movie a lot. I said I think I gave Thor a 7. But it just, like, the jokes were good enough. They hit the first time. You know, get help was a great line. All kinds of shit was fun. I liked the Loki-Thor relationship. But then this, at least, like, the thing is, with comedy, if it's not, like, instantly a classic in my eyes, like, I love 21 Jump Street. That was so, like, powerful for me. It hit. I can go back and watch it and laugh. Thor was funny enough, but it's funny enough, and I can't really go back and watch it because I'm not going to be, like, laughing my ass off. There's not memorable lines that I'm going, like, holy shit, I got to quote this in my everyday life and shit like that. At least with this, I can go back and, like, oh, you know, I can enjoy the visuals that were good. I can pick apart the bad shit that was bad. And to go off my point about the post-credit sequences, it's like, Jeff Goldblum was nice, but at least the Superman Flash race is a fucking age-old thing that appears in every era of Superman and the Flash. It's in the cartoons, it's in that kind of stuff. So that was a nice throwback, because you'll never get another chance to do that. And then, like we said, the fucking Lex Luthor part was incredible. I was like, oh my god, the Legion of Doom is going to be fucking crazy if they actually do it right.
I don't know. I think comparatively speaking, I think, you know, again, just the Jesse Eisenberg thing was such a miss. It's going to affect the movie now. So even though he looked a lot more like Lex Luthor, he still sounds like fucking Jesse Eisenberg. And I don't think, and I think the people who will be able, I think the people like you who will be able to get excited for him being in this franchise, I think are the minority. I think it's,
I'm not excited for him to be in the franchise. I'm just saying, let's just play a quick game. Yeah. What was a better ending credit sequence? Literally Jeff Goldblum saying, hey, we all won, congratulations, or that?
Between if you just those two, that just one. Those, but I think that the that's ship...
All, but that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm. That's literally all I'm making the point. I'm agreeing with you. The ship has sank. The ship has sank. They're at the fucking end. They hit the iceberg. The ship cracked in half. Jack and Rose are on the boat, or on the door. Jack's drowning. Like, it's over. It's all over. But I did enjoy that one scene, just comparatively to the other one.
Right, no, for sure. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I just think that as far as overall weight between, if you're going to compare the two, I think the Jeff Goldblum scene, for sure, I get that. But if, when they get back to Earth and the ship shows up, I think the weight of that moment was heavier than Lex Luthor and Deathstroke on the yacht. That's the only point that I'm making. So
I'm with you. Now, yeah. If that's the Thanos ship that's appearing above the horizon or whatever,
right?
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you 100%. I don't know how to say this any clearer to Disney or Marvel, even though they won't hear this. You guys need to have Infinity War, like, as soon as possible. Not to shit on Black Panther because he's black, but literally the character does not fit right now. He can show up later. You can have him come back and fight in Infinity War, and then you can make a whole big Black Panther franchise. But as a longtime fan, you've strung me along enough to where I don't have the patience anymore. Like, I don't want another Justice League situation where you give me everything at once and there's no build. But with this, it's literally been a decade. We've had Thanos appear in 2012 in the first Avengers movie. From that moment, we knew where we were going, and that's awesome. And there have been little hints here and there, and it's time. There's no more time for a pit stop. You can't, like, to be too overly self-indulgent, because you're going to turn a lot of people off, me included, who's one of the biggest Marvel fans out there.
No, yeah, that's a fair thing. I think and this is the difference between Marvel and DC. Marvel has, at least for me, on the fan side, earned It's a little leeway is left, but they've earned the lead. So as much as I think Black Panther doesn't look all that great, I'm at least willing to be like, hey, okay, I'll go watch it, I'll see, and I have more faith that they'll pull it off more so than it'll be an annoying attention grab, as opposed to DC, where, you know, the fucking, it's just as much as I want to see more of Justice League, it's just at this point it's going to be they're playing catch up. They're playing catch up and they're dropping shit, and they've exhausted all of my patience so much quicker than Marvel has. And at least they have room to kind of fuck up and make up for it, but DC now it's just like they couldn't. Fuck.
Yeah, DC.
I was gonna say that. That's Marvel's had a lot more hits than misses, whereas DC started with three big misses.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they had a hit and kind of probably a hit with this one, too, because, like Jeff said, do I want to see Justice League again? Yeah, I do. While I was watching the movie the whole time, I'm thinking, I'm liking this. I'm kind of liking this. And then I'd see something I didn't like. I'm like, okay, maybe it's whatever. And then I'm like, wait, did I just really just mentally set the bar that low because of the trailers that I think this is a good movie because I was going in with zero expectation, or is it actually kind of good? So,
no, yeah.
I think this, I would call this a hit as opposed to a miss, just because at no time was I watching the movie, I was like, man, when's this going to be over? I'm getting really bored. God, this sucks. Like I did with the first three.
Yeah, I was really angry when I left I wasn't angry when I left Man of Steel. I just was like, huh, okay. I was mad after Batman vs. Superman. I was mad after Suicide Squad. Put it like this. If I'm willing to do multiple videos on a movie like that are hours long, and I'm bitching the whole time, I had to really hate it.
Yeah, and I just feel bad because, you know, like, I think I liked Justice League. I really did. It was a good movie. It just sucks because due to the circumstances of the franchise, and again, you know, this is the danger of making franchises nowadays. You know, when you say, hey, this is going to be our climax and everyone's waiting for it, you know, you can't afford to just have good anymore. You don't have the leeway that movies like when we didn't know that a movie was going to have a sequel, you know, it adds to the excitement, and it just, you know, would the world's response to Justice League be different if they didn't say that they were going to do a franchise? I think so. Would obviously it would have been a lot better if they took their time with it, but you know, again, in a vacuum, I think Justice League's a good. There was definitely, you know, there was more that I liked than I disliked, even though what I disliked was big. But again, it's just a victim of the DC decision making process, you know, and that's what sucks so bad, because it's like, hey, this was supposed to be their Avengers, and it was just, you know, it was just a good movie, you know, and it's like, damn.
Kenda, you made a good point. You're talking about thinking to yourself, I'm liking this, I dislike this one part, blah blah blah. I was sitting there thinking to myself, when is this going to get terrible? Because it's sitting at like, what, 28% on Metacritic right now or something, like dropped a whole bunch again. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sitting there waiting, like, when is this getting terrible? When is this getting terrible?
Yeah.
Not until the climax did I start to have problems with it.
Yeah, same thing. I wasn't waiting. Yeah. I'm watching. It's like, wow, this is, you know, I'm liking this. When's the bottom going to fall out? Is it going to happen now? Oh, no, this is still
the
all right.
The never did fall out either.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of ended underwhelmingly, that's all.
Yeah. And the thing is, the movie did so many logical things, too. Like, they had the subplot of Martha Kent losing the farm. Well, it only makes sense for Batman to get it back. You know? Oh, he's over the darkness. Wonder Woman's over her thing. We're going to have a Hall of Justice, per se, at Old Wayne Manor. Like, things make sense. I'm liking where we're going. It just, I don't know. The execution was a little slow
to get to it.
What'd you
yeah.
say?
Well, then it, too,
it
like,
took him this long to get to that point to where, hey, we know where we're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's 100% it, man. And then, you know, to compound off of that, every good thing, that's when the bad thing. So as much as, you know, when they resurrect Superman, you know, even though I didn't like the whole Mother Box Defibrillator thing, You know, they Superman and he's confused. Like, that would make sense that if a dude was dead for, you know, 2 months or whatever it was, he'd be confused as fuck as if he came back and these random people are standing there. But then they have, like, Wonder Woman calling him Kal-El. Like, I was like, how would she know his Kryptonian name?
I did wonder that, too, because they met for about 5 minutes and then he died.
They met at the end of Batman vs. Superman. So how would she know to call him Kal-El? That was bothering me. And then, yeah. So you have that whole big part that's really good. And she's like, oh, Kal-El, Kal-El. I'm just like, that was more of a, hey, remember that she called him this in the comic book all the time? As opposed to, this doesn't make sense because she wouldn't know his name. And then, you know, having Lois showed up was really, like, that was the big gun. I thought, I was like, that's a really clever thing to do. But then she's sitting there and she's calling him Clark. And I'm like, it's broad fucking daylight and she's yelling his name. Like, there's no one's like, maybe we shouldn't make, like, especially because Lois Lane's supposed to be really smart. Like, I just thought that, you know, there's a crowd of people and she's yelling Clark. I'm just like, would she really be using his real name when everyone sees that Superman is back?
No, but I'm glad they bring back his secret fucking identity.
Yes.
Folks, secret identities aren't played out.
No. It's important because you got to have the superhero and the everyday person. Because that's the whole balance of, I'm trying to be a regular guy, but at the same time I got superpowers struggle that all the superheroes go through.
Yeah. And
plus, it makes sense when they're trying, you know, it adds an element when they're trying to protect the people that they care about.
Yeah. I think Spider-Man 2 did that really well, especially the first Spider-Man as well. Because when Peter rejects Mary Jane, it's not that he rejects her out of, you know, he doesn't love her. It's just, oh, I couldn't live with myself if you died because of my enemies. That's one of the few superhero movies that actually makes you care about that. Because Tony Stark is like, well, Pepper Potts can be protected by S.H.I.E.L.D. or any other numerous organizations. Like, she's in danger, and he's just so vain, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and the first Iron Man ruined that a little bit, especially with him immediately revealing himself as Iron Man. That definitely did kind of hurt, you know. And then it's the same, you know, even in Avengers, like, everyone knows who Steve Rogers is. Everyone knows that Black Widow's an agent for S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, there wasn't a whole, you know, that's the one thing that Marvel is kind of missing now is the whole secret identity. Outside of Daredevil, you know, no one really has that that classic secret identity, protect my peeps mentality.
And that's such a big part of the superhero lore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even to this day, I know people are like, well, we need to grow as a culture of, you know, comic book culture. No, secret identities and alter egos go hand in hand because it's part of the fantasy. It's part of the disconnect that we love because we all would like to fantasize, like, oh man, I'd love to be secretly Superman with these crazy powers and all these things and then live a normal life, or like Spider-Man. It's like, yeah, my life's shitty, but I put on this mask and I'm fucking worshipped by a million people and I save the day and all this other crap. They need to bring back the fun. You know, we're past the stupid, dark, and gritty. Now let's just go a little further in the fun aspect.
Right.
If I can go back to the resurrected Clark Kent, I did like the Pet Sematary jokes.
I did too.
That was pretty funny.
That was funny, and then the whole time he's sitting there as, you know, resurrected Superman whooping these guys' ass, the whole time I'm hearing Judd Crandall, sometimes dead is better. Wham! Flash gets punched against the thing. Sometimes dead is better. Boom! Wonder Woman gets nailed. Sometimes dead is better. I'm like, damn it! Stop it! Stop it!
I love
that whole scene was fantastic, I think.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing that bothered me was, you know, the whole... So there are a lot of cuz plot moments, like all of a sudden, like I like that they did the struggle with Cyborg, but then all of a sudden his gun just can't help but aim at Superman, but I got over that shit. But especially when he grabs all three of them and Flash is trying to run behind him and you see his eye move and catch him and his head turns and he's following him around and Flash is like, oh shit.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was one of the only times that I was cool.
And then when he grabs Batman, I verbally went, oh shit, when that, I was just like, holy shit, he can see him.
Yeah.
And he grabs Batman, and he's just like, oh, I remember you, and he's like, do you bleed? I was like, oh, fuck!
Yeah, I was waiting to hear, like, jaw start cracking, because he had him, like, right there, and you could see he's wanting to squeeze on him, like, oh, God, he's going to bust his jaw, this is going to be great. But he didn't, he just slammed him down.
I'm glad you brought up the whole eye thing, because I was just... Like, that was a cool visual. Just like, oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the, like, it was the only one, few times the slow motion thing wasn't like crap. I was like, okay, that needs to happen because the Flash is moving really quick, but Superman can keep up with him.
Now, I loved the Barry Allen going to visit his dad scenes in jail. I thought those were really well done, and I liked the ending one, too.
See, the thing that I liked that was part of, but I hated that they ended it where he's still in jail. So it's like, for me, my problem was like the arrogance that, hey, you're going to watch the Flash movie now because you want to see how this ends. I'm like, well, then, motherfucker, I'm like, why? Like,
would you say it was too tied up into a bow if he escaped or if he got out of jail and all that stuff, too? Do you feel like it would have been a little too much?
No, I'm not saying he should have gotten out, but I think that to have him, like, I think having him first there and he's like, don't come see me, and then if that was the one thing that they left unresolved until the movie, would have been cool. And then just, instead of having him go to his dad and say, I got this job in the forensic lab, he could have just like be at home and they leave it the acceptance letter on the table or something. Like, ending at the very end of the movie with that, I'm just like, God, like, I want to see him get Dr. Manhattan out of jail now.
Yeah, I did like that it was Dr. Manhattan that played his dad. Guy has such a cool voice.
Mm-hmm. I know I like that dude a lot.
It definitely. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kendo. No, guys.
It definitely helped draw some sympathy to the Flash that I didn't have for him when he was trying to make a joke every scene.
Yeah, it's weird because how much this has been a pretty positive review.
Yeah, I know. There's people's heads that are fucking exploding right now. They're like, these guys are Marvel dick riders and they're fucking DC haters. Wait, now they're saying DC's all right. Oh, they're fucking losing their shit. They don't know what to do because we're praising DC movie.
It's like an oddly backward compliment because, like we said, Dion gave it a 5. You and I each gave it a 6. That's not a high score. But the more I think about this movie, I honestly think I enjoyed it way more than Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, I did. Easily.
By a mile. Easily. I don't like Spider-Man Homecoming underneath it all because, I've said it before and I'll say it again, they got Spider-Man right at one point in time. There was a point where Spider-Man was the premier superhero franchise. The character was treated with the proper reverence and respect. Now Spider-Man's literally a joke. And as a huge Spider-Man fan, I'm just tired of that. And Homecoming didn't elevate the character. It just brought it over to Marvel so you could play with Iron Man. And he doesn't really serve much of a purpose in these movies. I can't believe I'm saying it, but we're living in a world where I like a Justice League thing more than a Spider-Man thing.
Yeah, the only thing I liked about Homecoming was fucking Michael Keaton as Vulture.
Yeah. I think the thing is, I don't want to see where Tom Holland's Spider-Man goes. I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't give a shit. I'm so fed up with Spider-Man and Spider-Man fans and the stupid humor of it. I really would be more interested to see how Superman goes, where Superman goes, to see how Aquaman deals with and I think, I don't even really want to sit through another, like, origin story for these people. I just want to see another Justice League movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, I just want to see them all together again. I don't want to sit and, Wonder Woman's going to go off and do this now. I don't care. I really don't care because we've learned everything she's essentially done since 1918. She comes out when she's needed, but she sticks to herself most of the time.
And she has plenty of changes of clothes.
Yeah. And she always looks good.
Oh, yeah.
That's a sexy woman.
I did tell Eric Ward that he was desperate to know if there was any good scenes of her. And I said, you get lots of good upskirts if you know what to look for.
I was looking. And one thing I noticed, too, I felt like in one scene where she met Cyborg on the street corner, her boobs were pushed up a lot.
Oh, yeah. Because
those pants was tight, too, man. Her butt looked fantastic.
Those leather pants were tight. And there was a lot of push-up and a lot of cleavage coming from Miss Godot.
You could see what she ate for breakfast, so yeah, I liked those pants.
Yeah, it was good. Very nice.
Well, we've been talking for about 50 minutes. Let's talk about the one thing I've been dying to talk about the entire time, because I really could talk about this movie for hours on end, because I enjoyed it. I would pay $5 to go see it again, because I went and saw it in the Deluxe Dolby Theater at my AMC, which was cool. Had super recliners, not the shitty cheap recliners like I saw at Thor. These were the super deluxe ones with the little buttons, and I had popcorn, and the screen was great and giant and all this other shit. So I wouldn't pay $20 to see this movie again, but $5 to $7.50, I would see this movie again. because it was so passably fine. And I guess it was a surprise too, because we thought it was gonna we thought it was gonna suck so much ass.
Yeah, that's why I was saying I'm waiting for it to fall apart. I'm like, it's not falling apart. The trailers are awful. This movie's supposed to be awful, but I'm loving it. And then the CGI took it back a peg. If the background, the analogy I would use is this. If you go to a sporting event and you're in a shitty stadium and the crowd sucks, but the game is good, it takes away from the experience of the game because the atmosphere is so terrible. That's kind of what this was like. The cast doing their thing was great. It was all the shit around it. The background, the essentially non-sequitur story plots that they threw in there for no reason. That type of stuff kind of is what – if they didn't have that and they had better imagery on the backgrounds and the green screens didn't look as shitty and the CGI didn't look as shitty, this is not a 6 out of 10 for me. This is an 8 out of 10 easily because it's more visually appealing.
I almost feel like I want to say it's a 7 out of 10 because
I know, we're kind of talking ourselves into a higher grade here.
Yeah, because I'm reflecting upon it, and I'm like, yep, liked it, liked that.
Fuck it, let's kick it up a notch. Jeff and I are each at 7, Dion's up to a 6. But no, like you were saying, to see it again, Wednesday, Doofus doesn't have school, and he wants to hang out with me all day, and he's like, let's go to the movies and see the movies again, because I took him to Homecoming, he loved it, and I was like, he's a kid, he's 7, he's supposed to love it. And I was going to take him to see Thor. I'm thinking about taking him to see the Justice League.
Do it.
Hey, Doofus, you want to go see the Justice League? It's like, I thought we were going to see Thor. Ah, fuck that. We're going to Justice League.
I mean, I'm not having real Marvel fatigue, but I could sit. I don't want to see Thor Ragnarok ever again. I liked it. It was great the one time. I'm done. I didn't even enjoy Doctor Strange as much the second time. I watched it right before Thor to get, you know, in the right mindset. Mm-hmm. I liked him. I enjoyed the different mystic elements. But at the end of it, I'm just like, well, it was a good movie. The Dormammu scene's as great as always. But the Marvel movies that stick with me, that make me... I'm not, when I say I'm moved, it doesn't mean like I'm moved to tears, but like I'm just like, yes, this was a fucking event. This was something that stuck with me. The first Iron Man, the first Avengers, the second and third Captain America are... Those are just the best, in my opinion, Marvel movies. That, one, I own them on Blu-ray and DVD. So if I'm buying... Movie studios, if I pay full price for one of your movies, take it as the highest compliment. I'll see it in theaters, but if I buy it full price to own it, I love it. I loved Civil War and Winter Soldier. Those were just fucking, you know, knockout hits. Those were fucking phenomenal. The rest of them I do enjoy a lot, but the more they go, the less I enjoy them in the long term. Does that make sense? Like, they don't have lasting appeal. I enjoy them when I see them. You hear what I say, I give you my honest opinions. But the lasting appeal isn't there. I'm not saying Justice League is going to be in my top 5, top 10, top 15 favorite superhero movies, because we have to factor in old X-Men movies, Deadpool, Blade, stuff like that. Which
Deadpool 2.
Yeah, but those are all movies that I think at this point in time I'd still rank higher than Justice League. But I want to go through Justice League maybe a few more times just to like try to comb through it all. It wasn't even like a dense movie. Everything was so like airy and fine and fun, and it wasn't broody and boring. There are parts that I would cut out, like Batman laying on the ground saying, I think I'm bleeding, because it just doesn't fit. And one thing before we get into the Marvel comparisons, the Avengers, and then I want you guys to chime in on this one. What do you think the original cut of this was?
I think the thing that I... See, that's the other thing. The reason that it got knocked down to a 5 was so much of the trailers weren't in the movie. So, like, obviously, you know, whoever it was that came to see Alfred where he's like, they need you or whatever, in that part of the trailer, I kind of read up, someone was saying, I think it was on Reddit, that was supposed to be Supergirl. I don't know if I believe that. I think that the mother box, the defibrillator thing, was a last minute change. I think that he was going to either randomly wake up and bust out, and then go see Alfred or whatever, and then go and save them at the last minute and have a much better fight with Steppenwolf. That's what I think was supposed to happen originally.
Now, I think the movie was probably another hour longer.
Yeah,
it was a lot less fun.
Yeah, I have a feeling there was probably a lot more filler shit in there. because it seemed, like I said, other than the fact that it was kind of clunky and that there was stuff happening, slowdown, stuff happening, slowdown. And some of the slowdown was necessary, like going to find and talk to Aquaman and be like, hey, yo, you know, want to hang out with us and do our, you know, whatever, or slowing down to talk to Flash. I mean, that's necessary shit, obviously, because you don't want to be like, all of a sudden Aquaman shows up and be like, where the fuck did he come from? Because that makes it look dumb then, but like some of like the extra long talky scenes, I think there was probably a bit more of that shit. Probably more stuff to do with what's her name, Lois Lane and stuff, and brooding over what's his name and all that other stuff. Goddamn Superman, losing focus. But you know what I mean. I just think there would have been a whole lot more of that type of fucking, because we need to drag this shit out type of whatever filler crap.
I would like to
probably think more that, Lane jokes.
I would like to think that there's a an alternate cut that has a better climax, but I know there's not.
I would like to think that the original cut would come as an Easter egg on the Blu-ray, and you could That'd watch cool. the original cut, and we could be like, wow, this was fucking awful.
I would also like to think that there's an alternate dimension where this movie was played by Christian Bale as Batman still.
Oh, yeah.
The same Wonder Woman. We had a different Superman. You know, I'm not saying Christopher Reeve, because he would be too old at this point, even if he never had his accident, so I'm not going to go that crazy. But I'm saying, like,
I didn't hate Henry Cavill. I thought he was all right.
I don't hate him at all. His voice has gotten a little weird.
Like, I mean, he looks the part, not like Christopher Reeve looks the part, but he looks kind of like Superman to me.
He does. I wish the CGI was better on him.
But yeah, no, yeah, CGI should have been a lot better too, yeah.
Well, I think Henry Cavill's, I actually like him a lot as Superman. I think the thing that's so distracting is the Superman outfit's so bad. And I think that's the
there you go.
That's the problem. I mean, you don't have the one of the easily identifiable parts about Superman being a beacon is that blue and that red is so bright and it matches his personality and him being a hero. This one, you know, it's a darker blue with muscles on the suit randomly, and the there's barely any red, and it's dark red. And I think I honestly think it would make people would like him a hell of a lot more if the suit was just better. The suit takes away so much.
Yeah, why can't he just like wear a costume or something? Or Christopher Reeve.
I really think he should go and have the traditional suit. Maybe have it textured to look cool on screen.
Yeah.
But bring back the bright yellow belt, the trunks, put the S on the back of the cape. Just embrace the Supermanness, because I'm not saying the world's in this dark era where we need a hero, like in post 9/11 America, but movies can have the fun bright guy, the dark dour guy, and everything in between, and they can play together and they can be in the same movie, and then they bring their own elements to said movie. Have Superman look like Superman. Henry Cavill, face is down, hair looks great. I'm not trying to sound weird, but he's got the physique for it. Like when he was out in the field when he first landed with Lois, he had the Superman physique. I love Christopher Reeve to death, but he was a skinny Superman. Henry Cavill actually has the real physique that Superman would. Thumbs up to him. I mean, that's a lot of hard work and dedication.
A lot of clanging and banging.
Yeah, that's a lot of clanging and banging, and he looks the part. But I'm with you 100%, Dion. I think a lot of the suits, I think the Batman suit looks pretty bad, too. The way the cowl sits under his chin, I don't like.
Yeah,
ears are too short.
The ears are too short, exactly what I was getting ready to say. He looks too bulky, because not to sound weird again, but Ben Affleck's in great shape. Batman shouldn't be so bulky, because he wouldn't be able to move. If we're going to be honest, a lot of Batman comics, he's pretty... I'm not saying he's lethal like a swimmer, but if you read Batman comics from the 70s through the Dark Knight Returns in the 1980s, even though that's an old, you know, alternate future world story, he's not thin, but he's not super, like, Superman buff. He's cut to shit, but he's able to dive and do all these crazy elements and all these other things, and I feel like that would fit best for Batman, because he just seems too fat to fucking flop around and do shit in this movie.
Yeah, like, if you look the way he does in, like, the Arkham games, you know?
Yeah, or, like Michael Keaton, I think he cut a better figure in the suit, because the height of the ears, like, broke, and the symmetry of the mask, and the height of the ears, and the way the chin sat out, and it wasn't too big over his nose, because it looks like Ben Affleck's just in a big rubber helmet. and it just it's too thick in the wrong places. I've seen a lot of cosplay Batman suits that do it better, if you ask me. I'm not saying the suit was like garbage, but it wasn't. We've seen better Batman many times.
Yeah,
for sure.
Hell, even the Batman Forever suit looks better than this one, I think.
Yeah, but this suit's better than the nipple suit.
Yes, but Dion, you'll go to bat with me on this one. The Batman Forever costume, both of them look great.
Oh yeah, I think the one after the one that he wears in the climb when they go to face Riddler and Two-Face for the last time, I think that's a way better bat suit than
the sonar suit.
Yeah, it's
oh, I love this.
Suit. Yeah.
I got an action figure of it right here on my shelf. I'm looking right at it. He's in front of Optimus Prime and Brandon Routh Superman.
Fuck yeah. You know, the suit, yeah, I mean, all of the suits, with the exception probably of Wonder Woman's, yeah, I mean, it's just, they don't look great, man. They don't look great in a slight, yeah, I mean, and plus the other thing, too, that drives me crazy about, you know, the Batman suit is, again, this need to draw the muscles on. So, you know, at least with, you know, obviously Batman Forever kind of got back to that, but, you know, with Brandon Routh Superman, you know, they didn't need to fucking draw the muscles on because the actors looked the part. They, you know, and to add, you know, Ben Affleck, you know, he's not that fucking bulky, and the suit just adds on unnecessary size. With Henry Cavill, again, the dude has the physique. Why does the Superman suit have drawn on pecs and drawn on abs? Like that.
Well, did you notice you brought up Ben Affleck looking bulky in the suit when he had his mask off? Did you notice how tiny his head looked?
Yeah.
Yep.
That was kind of embarrassing almost. I was like, come on, this is a $300 million movie. Everyone else looked normal. Like, you just look like a little kid in a costume. Like, hey, I'm Batman. Here we go.
Superman.
They shake hands like the opening of the old Batman cartoon. Batman! By the way, speaking of Batman, it was so nice to hear the fucking Batman 89 theme.
Dude, when Gordon looks up in the air and fucking Batman standing there in the 89 theme, I literally was just like, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it definitely gave me the tingles.
The one that always gives me the tingles, Kendo, is like we talked about, the finale with the bells.
Yes.
That is just so epic, it's not even fair. Like, that's what we need in more super... Like, okay, Justice League just kind of ended. Like, with the Avengers, even... Okay, the Avengers has the big climax, and then the resolution makes sense. This Justice League film didn't really... The climax happened, and then the resolution was just like, oh, I don't feel like it was done yet. I needed a few more moments.
Yeah, it's like, I want more Justice League now.
Yeah. Well, not Justice League now, because that's a cartoon and it's garbage, but...
Justice League, comma, now.
There we go. There we go, Mr. Teacher Man. So let's make these comparisons to the Avengers, because goddamn, are there so fucking many.
Seriously.
Like I told you in the beginning of this, I put on the Avengers just to refresh my mind about this. Man, Scarlett Johansson's butt looks awesome in this movie. I'm at the scene where she's talking to Loki.
Oh, she's fine. It's fucking that scene.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. A white woman with a butt like that always distracts me. I was at when I went to see Thor, there was a girl built like that. I was like, holy shit. I need to up my game and look better. Anyway, sorry. Back to this review, listeners, because that's what you want to hear about. So, I mean, I could go the obvious route and talk about the climax, but let's talk about a few of the things first. Like, okay, the Avengers have the Tesseract that they're going after, or the Cosmic Cube, depending on if you read comic books. Now, we're getting Mother Boxes, which are essentially the same thing, but there are three of them. So, that right there felt like, oh, that's like the Avengers. Then, Steppenwolf has the exact same mission as Loki.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly the same. He even has a fucking thing of faceless CGI drones as his army.
Yep.
And then, if you want to even break it down even further, they both wear similar helmets. Loki's got the two-horned helmet, as well as Steppenwolf. Now, Loki has his scepter, Steppenwolf has his axe. Fine. Those are completely different weapons, but overall, it's like the same. It's like the Two-Face coin. You know how one's the good side and one's got the scratch? It's still the same coin. That's what we were seeing with this.
Yeah, that and Loki looked a lot better. I thought Steppenwolf looked like shit the whole time.
Oh, he didn't fit the movie.
No,
he looked like garbage. That CGI was horrible.
And I was disappointed that every time they're like he came on the screen, there wasn't actually Steppenwolf playing in the background. Dude, I would have loved that. I would have fucking marked out really hard if it's like, get out.
On a magic
and he's like fucking just hammering people.
That would have been fun. I don't think
born like, to anyone be wild. Axe.
No, but I mean, what other similarities were there? Do we want to just get straight to the climax, or do you guys have any more that you noticed?
Shit, I did notice a bunch. I'm fucking drawing a goddamn blank right now.
Well, we'll talk about the climax, and then if you think of them, just cut in.
Yeah, cool.
So, this movie lends exactly the same way as the Avengers. The invading army gets what they need, and the invasion starts. Now, in the Avengers, they come from space, and they attack New York City. In this movie, they all descend upon Chernobyl, which they don't call Chernobyl, but whatever, it's Chernobyl.
Yeah.
And they build a thing, and all these parademons are fighting and attacking society. Now, here's the analogy that I came up with after I watched the movie, and tell me if this makes sense. So I wrote it down on my phone because I wanted to tell you. So I wrote this. Justice League saved an abandoned Chernobyl. The Avengers saved the world. The stakes were lower. And then I put it like this. For every shot in the Avengers where you had the civilians running for running for their lives and the explosions and when the Chitauri had those groups of people held captive and all that shit, the Justice League dealt with one family. Literally that one family in the truck.
Yeah.
That was all we ever saw. It felt like it was so dumb to have the stakes so tiny. This is the Justice League. They're supposed to do more than the Avengers.
Right.
But they didn't. They literally like, hey, we're going to save this neighborhood, everybody. Like, that's all they did. They saved a fucking neighborhood. And then it was hilarious when Superman picked up that apartment building and threw him to safety.
That I did have an audible laugh at that one when, like, Flash is, like, feeling so gratified that he was able to boost this car to safety and save these kids. And then he looks over and here comes Superman flying by with the whole fucking building. I was like, okay, that's funny. I laughed at that out loud. I was like, that's good.
That's the thing, though. The Avengers, it's the same thing, but the Avengers are saving everyone, and the Justice League is saving a truck full of people. And it's just, I don't know how else to describe it. It feels so small in comparison. And here's another analogy I thought as a kid. Like, when my mom would take me out as a kid, she would always go to her dollar stores and her cheap shit, and then she would take me to Toys R Us and buy me a toy. This movie, the Justice League, felt like those dollar store toys and this shitty stuff, because eventually I knew I could watch the Avengers, which was the good one, you know? It's like the Transformers and the GoBots. Eventually I'll get the good shit, I just gotta sit out the crap. And this just felt so cheap in comparison when it comes to the spectacle and the important nature of their cause and what they're trying to do.
Yeah, like it did. No, it did, and like I said, even so, like, again, you know, I know... And then the other comparison, you know, Steppenwolf, he mentions his overarching boss. He says Darkseid in kind of the similar way when Loki is like, I've been shown, you know, greater power than Thor's. Like, who showed you this power? Like, you know, that quick little gander to what's coming thing. And even so, like, you don't see, like, you know, he keeps mentioning this mother, and then... Like, I'm thinking that something else is going to show up and the Justice League is going to have to fucking fight them all together and Steppenwolf, and then they don't. And I was like, damn, at least with Avengers, it was like, you know, they're defending the whole city, and then on top of that shit, the government tries to nuke the fucking city. Like, there was, like, multiple stakes. And like you said, it was just like a group of people, and then let's just separate the boxes, and we might die, just us here. And I was like, well... Fuck, man.
It was definitely saving the world on a small scale, because even though the world technically was in danger of being destroyed, it was happening in the middle of absolutely nowhere, whereas the world was in danger of being destroyed in New York City, where the stakes are much higher, lots more people.
And much more relatable.
Yeah, so it was like world-saving, but in a small scale.
Well, the thing is, New York City, even if you've never... Like, I've been there. We've all been there, correct?
I haven't actually.
I've seen it from across the bay from the Newark
airport. Like this. Even if you've watched any if you've watched enough American movies, you know what it's like to be in New York City. It's visual shorthand for like the best of America. Like it's our biggest city. Everyone knows it across the world. So when you watch the Avengers, everyone can relate to that. We've seen enough. We've seen Spider-Man save it. We've seen Superman save it. We've seen so many other movies go to New York City. It's like the most visited city in film. Chernobyl's a hard sell. First off, it's a burned-out wasteland in Russia. Is Russia really the best place to end the Justice League movie?
See, really? my thing was they were copying Avengers 2 more than they were the first one. With it was like
the Sokovia.
Yeah, it was the Sokovia, and even though if Sokovia landed hard enough on the Earth, then it would fuck the Earth up, it still was like, you know, they gotta get all the Sokovians off onto the helicarrier, and then they're all fighting these old-ass, you know, Cold War buildings, and I was just like, and I'm sitting there, I'm just like, why does this feel like I'm watching Age of Ultron? And then I was like, oh,
we were watching that pretty much people try to.
For sure. And that was what I thought was so weird. I was like, this is more like Age of Ultron than it is the first one. And I'm just like, damn, y'all.
Well, Joss, well, Josh, we made both, so I mean,
there you go.
See why it would be like that. If I was involved with this movie, honestly, I would keep almost everything they're obviously not everything to a T, but pretty much up until they go to Chernobyl to fight, I would have had them go there to fight, and then Steppenwolf escapes with the mother boxes through a boom tube, and then they go to Apocalypse to fight. Like, take them off. This may be your only chance to make a Justice League film, guys. You should have went balls to the wall. Like, if in 2012 they're like, hey, we're making one Avengers movie and that's it, you fight Thanos. You do something crazy. Like with the first Batman 89, and with Spider-Man, and with those X-Men, they always went for the biggest villains. They didn't say, hey, next time we'll do this. They fought the Green Goblin in the first Spider-Man movie. Batman beats the Joker in the real first Batman movie. The X-Men fight Magneto. Like, you know, they go for the big ones. This, no one knew who Steppenwolf was. No one cares. They picked the dumbest fucking villain.
Well, and even if not to go to Apocalypse, if you and me are doing this movie, I say, you know, have, you know, they go to Chernobyl, they think they stop him, he grabs the motherboard, boom tubes to Metropolis, and you see the actual Apocalypse army come out over Metropolis, and it's fucking Darkseid. Like, I would have had, you know, or it's, you know, I don't know if you want to make the connection between that and Mother, or just instead of having him say Mother all the time, have him say Father or whatever, and fucking Darkseid shows up. And then you really have to, you know, you gotta fucking have Superman fighting Darkseid, and they gotta fight Steppenwolf, and the rest of them are trying to corral the goddamn the Army of Apocalypse. Like, that would have been cooler. Like, revisit that whole fear of the Earth getting attacked at Metropolis. That would have been a way better scene, and you still have that relatability of a major city being invaded by a crazy motherfucker.
And you could have had Superman go, not this time, or not again, or something, you know? And then you could have had the Superman music blaring as he fought through these fucking drones, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, putting them down. Then you could have the Flash just, you know, slicing through them real quick. You know, and one thing I wanted to mention, you brought up about us making this movie. If you had asked me a week ago, I would have said, no Cyborg, I want Green Lantern as our black quota.
Yes.
If we have to have one. Mm-hmm. I kind of want them both. I don't want anyone off this team. Just add Green Lantern and we're good.
Oh, no, Cyborg, he earned his spot in this one for me, man. He did a fucking fantastic. I thought that dude, I mean, outside of him not looking that great, you know, he looked, you know, the CGI was just pretty shitty, but that dude did a fantastic job. And then when he says booyah at the end, I was like, yeah, he said it. Awesome.
Well, you brought up the CGI. I told you I'm watching the Avengers. I'm looking at, it's the scene where the Hulk first turns into the Hulk on the helicarrier.
Yeah.
That CGI from 5 years ago looks so good compared to what we just saw. It looks so good in general. Because the Hulk looks real in this scene. Like, he looks like he would if you saw him in person. Mm-hmm. And Cyborg never looked good. He, even like when he was in the kitchen in the beginning, the sweatsuit looked CGI. You know, mm-hmm. what they should have done is they should have hired an actor that was of equal height but of smaller stature than Ray Fisher, whatever his name is, and put him in a sweatsuit. That way, because Cyborg's body's different, you could just have a thinner guy play it and use real clothing because the CGI clothing looked fake.
Yeah.
It was real noticeable.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have anything else you want to say about the Justice League? I mean, I don't want to draw it out to make this boring, but I don't think we've ever had a dull moment in the hour and a half, or hour and 15 minutes that we've talked about the film. We've kind of just constantly given either how to fix it or that we liked it or whatever. It's not just a two-hour shitfest.
No, go ahead, man.
I was going to say, I was pleasantly surprised, and I liked it, and any time that I in the past was like, man, this is going to suck, I'm here to say I was wrong. It didn't suck. I like
everything I've said about this movie for the last, 2 years. I don't say I take everything back, because I really don't. But what I do say is, it was a good time. I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad I experienced it. And I'm glad that it exists the way it does. Is it perfect? Fuck no.
Nope.
Very few movies are, in my opinion. But it's an achievement, and it's another step in the right direction. Like Wonder Woman was a huge advancement over the Suicide Squad. Like,
oh, yeah.
Wonder Woman was good, and Suicide Squad was not. This movie was good. I'm not going to say it's Wonder Woman good, but put it like this. I don't ever want to really watch Wonder Woman again. I can't wait to watch the Justice League comparatively. So it's like, maybe it is just as good. I don't know. I think Wonder Woman's slightly overhyped.
Well, I think you know, the ending of Wonder Woman is what makes it not as good as Justice League. That that CGI fest was it, I've seen it again since then, and it still pisses me off. But you know, especially I said it on the last show before this episode that, you know, if when it fails, I'm gonna be happy. I'm actually happy that I was wrong, that it was not that bad. I know I gave it a 5. You know, especially now after talking about it, especially after seeing it again, I'd probably go up to a 6, 6.5, you know. But like I said, I did like it a lot. I did like it a lot. My issue again is, you know, the issues here and there, and you know, the fact that Justice League is really a victim of DC more than it is a fault of the movie itself. I liked it. I'm glad I was wrong about that, man. I really am. I really am glad that it wasn't a complete dumpster fire. And I can honestly say it doesn't deserve to be at, you know, 20-something% score. I can openly admit that now.
Yeah, I think it should be much higher, because I think of the DC films, it's the second best one. Possibly almost the best one. I mean, I liked Wonder Woman a lot when I saw it. If I watch Justice League again, I'll probably like it better than Wonder Woman.
Yeah, me too. Right now, by the way, Justice League's sitting at a 39% on Rotten Tomatoes. But the audience score is an 86%. I feel like that's closer to what it is.
It's a little bit higher. Yeah, I'd say it should be like 75 or something. But yeah, it's definitely way closer to the audience score than it is the critics.
Certified fresh, not necessarily, but it definitely should be a red tomato instead of a splattered tomato.
There are, and I mean this honestly, there are Marvel movies that are shittier than the Justice League. The Justice League is phenomenal, amazing, life-changing event, but I would rather watch the Justice League over Iron Man 2, Iron Man 3, Thor 2.
Homecoming.
Homecoming. And that's about it.
I don't know about that.
Guardians, for as much as I shit on it, like, those are solid movies. But I don't know. I like the characters of Batman and Superman more than I like, you know, Groot and Rocket and all that shit. So.
Yeah. See, folks? We said we would admit whenever we were wrong. We just did. We've been doing that for the last hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, but fuck The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, fuck that. And I will never say that Justice League's better than The Dark World. That I got to see it again before I say that shit.
I right now can say that, and I like Thor, the character, quite a bit.
Thor and Iron Man, or not Thor and Iron Man, Thor and Aquaman feel very similar.
Yeah, it's like that macho,
dude
bro type character thing.
Now, that would be a movie, or at least a skit, like on SNL. I would love to see Chris Hemsworth and Jason Momoa play their characters together, and just to see how they would interact. That would just be incredible to see them play off of each other.
Yeah,
because I don't really want to see Iron Man meet Batman and Superman meet
Captain America.
The Hulk. Captain America, the Hulk. Because they just, they wouldn't fit, but Iron Man, and, or not Iron Man, but goddamn it, Aquaman and Thor are so similar. Like, I don't know how to say it. It would be really funny if it's like, oh yeah, on our next adventure, we need somebody to replace Thor, and then Aquaman just shows like, yeah, I'll do it. And it's exactly the same movie. That would never happen, but that's how similar I feel they are. And I'm fine with that. They both work. Each team needs that guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think Thor's that guy anymore, if I'm being honest. He's so different in Ragnarok.
See, and that's why I really love Ragnarok, because the scale of the change after Ragnarok is so huge. But even then, there are still those qualities where I still think, is that guy on the team where he's like, oh, I'll just run off and fight a dude and drink a beer and ha-ha, type of dude.
Oh, I did, but let me rephrase it. I don't think Thor is different. I just didn't like the way he was written at times.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
There were a few moments where I liked the comedy in these movies, but the Avengers and the movies that I personally think are the best ones balance it out right, because I don't like how now we're in an era where they stop for the joke. It worked for the first time when Thor was in the chain and spun around once, and he's like, hold on, wait till I get around. And then to me, the joke had been completed. And when it did it again, I didn't enjoy it. Like, I was actually interested in what, what's his face? The dude, the fire guy.
Not Mephisto.
I was actually interested in him talking to him, like, after that joke had hit. And that's the only problem I'm having with these movies. I'm hoping that Infinity War is a very, it's not a serious film, but like how the Avengers was serious, you know how it had plenty of jokes, but when, like, the action hit, they didn't stop to make a joke. Like, on the Helicarrier, they haven't stopped to make a joke. The only thing they said is like, oh, it runs on some sort of electricity. Well, you're not wrong. That's about it. Everything else was deadly serious during that action scene. Have your jokes otherwise, or other places, but keep the tone appropriate. Like, these people are fighting for their lives. When Thanos is involved, they're fighting an alien being with, you know, innumerable power. Like, they have never been able to comprehend how powerful something like this being truly is, except for Nebula. And I hope they treat it with reverence. I don't want the movie to end with, like, Spider-Man making a joke and Thanos goes, huh? And then gets, like, knocked out or something by Drax or something stupid. I want that to have the grandiose ending I feel we all deserve as fans.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm down 100%. I agree. I agree with you.
All right, well, thanks, Dion number two. Don't worry, you're the best Dion number one.
Goddamn right. I'm the original lackey, goddamn it.
I wonder what Dustin thinks of this movie.
I think he likes it a lot. I think he might have it. Like, this is probably my favorite superhero movie since Iron Man. I think it's the best one.
Yeah, normally I think he's just crazy. Well, he is crazy. It's not even, I don't have to quantify with, I think. You know, he is just straight up wackadoo, but we love him. I think he just has a certain type of woman he likes, and Gal Gadot barely fits that, but, you know, he's got like a love crush on Wonder Woman.
I do too.
The thing is, they made her cool. I thought Wonder Woman was kind of a lame character. I'm like, all right, Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah,
cool.
She was,
like,
badass in this movie. Shit.
Dude, when she was in the bank in the beginning.
Yes.
Or not the bank, wherever they were. That was just, like, perfection. The way she was, like, spinning on her knees, doing all that shit.
Yeah, that was
awesome. I kept thinking of that promo with The Rock before WrestleMania 28 when he goes, John Cena, with your little wristbands, looking like a transgender Wonder Woman. Pew, pew, pew. Like, I just kept thinking of The Rock going, pew, pew, pew. And I was chuckling to myself, but, you know, she's good. Like, they got an actress to do it right. I like Scarlett Johansson as Scarlet Witch. Not Scarlet Witch, as Black Widow.
Scarlet.
I like the Marvel women. I think they do fine, but I think Wonder Woman's a step above them. Maybe because the character of Wonder Woman's just a better character.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think, and again, I think they definitely, that's why, I think that's why Wonder Woman kind of was saving the game, so to speak, when it came out, because it was, you know, she was still, you know, Wonder Woman, but she wasn't like the catering Wonder Woman. It was like, this is the Wonder Woman that everyone likes and agrees with. And again, that's the whole scene when they're fighting Superman, and he's, you know, she's like, I don't want to have to do this, and he grabs her, she fucking headbutts him, and he headbutts her back, and then he fucking headbutts her in the ground. Like, there wasn't this, like, coddling, and she was still cool
was
throughout the whole
shots.
Thing. Yeah, that was fucking cool. And then she's fighting Steppenwolf, and, you know, there's a couple times where I'm like, damn, she might just end the movie right here. Okay, go get that motherfucker. You know, yeah, she was, like you said, fucking cool, man. She was cool.
Anyway, dude, when she, what was I just about to say about her? Fuck, I had a really good, oh, when she punched Bruce Wayne in the chest, it showed that she wasn't this perfect being. She has emotions, and I liked that a lot.
Yep.
Yes.
That clay broad ain't so bad.
Yeah. I really like her. She,
and
I hope they don't end this shit. That's all I can say. I hope they don't end.
Back on Wonder Woman, you could see her get better. She, like, in BVS, like you said, her wooden robotic acting or whatever it was that you described it as, there was that. She wasn't that good in that. In the movie where she was Wonder Woman, she was pretty good in that. And then she was even better.
Yeah, it's an upward progression. It's like that writer that we're talking to on Twitter. You know, upward progression is important.
Yeah. Push yourself to get better. Yeah. Al, we salute you.
In many ways.
Oh, yeah.
Well, at least two. So, folks, this has essentially been an extra episode of World Class Bullshitters. I think I'm going to mark this as episode 98.5, awesome. The Justice League.
Do that. Ooh. I was going to tell you to do that off air and why to do it that way.
You know what? I'm going to put it on iTunes. Or not. Yeah, it'll be on iTunes. I'm going to put this on Podbean. I'm going to put this on YouTube. I'm going to basically make it available. I think we had... I'm not trying to toot our own horn, but as of late, like, the superhero stuff we've covered, we've been really on point. And yes, some of it's a little long, but we haven't repeated any points on this one. I think we hit every point perfectly, and I'm really happy with the direction we've taken our last, like, five superhero topics. So hopefully we can bring this kind of, I don't know, not perfection, but this kind of preciseness to, like, The Last Jedi. I hope we don't spend 2 hours just fucking around.
We will, and especially, like I said... And obviously, I was, you know, not completely wrong about Justice League, but definitely, you know, I think with Star Wars, that one's going to write itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? If I'm this willing, am I willing to be this honest about Justice League? I mean, if Star Wars is blowing my mind, then I'll say it. But in my defense, I hated Episode 7 so much, and I know we're not getting rid of the characters I hate, so I don't expect much. John Boyega can kiss my ass. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Poe Dameron sucks. Daisy Ridley, you are fucking terrible in that movie. Everything about that is just... It's like I'm going back to my shitty aunt's house who doesn't know how to cook, and I gotta eat her terrible food. Like, actually, I don't have a shitty aunt that can't cook. That's a terrible analogy.
But if you had...
Fine. Yeah. If you had it, it's like going to your aunt's house that can't cook. You had it before, you know it's bad, and you gotta go over and you gotta fucking shovel it in and tell her it was good. And you just don't want to. So, let's end before we start talking about Star Wars, because that's a whole nother can of worms. So, folks, thank you for listening to World Class Bullshitters, episode 98.5. We will be back... Sorry, we won't be back this coming week. Episode 99 will be My Immortal Part 3. So, consider this... You know, if you were mad that we don't have another episode next week and you wanted to hear us talk about Justice League, you got it tonight. You got it early. It was a lot of fun. And I don't know what else to say besides, if you can, help us out on Patreon. We got a new patron, Joel Hastings, joined at $5.01 a month. So thank you, Joel Hastings. You're 1 cent better than so many other people. We love you.
Sorry to those of you that were looking forward to us just destroying this movie and ripping it apart and calling it shitty, but we just can't.
Yeah, there's a good feeling in my chest right now. It's like
I all the way home, man, all the way back to Camp Kendall, I'm like, I like this movie. I can't wait to get on and talk. And the thing is, I was waiting. I was like, man, they're gonna say, what'd you think? And I'm gonna be like, I liked it. And then you're like, oh, we hated it. And I'm like, fuck, I'm odd man out. I'm on I like this movie island.
Well, never be ashamed to be on that movie island, because it just means you're honest.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to come in here and play up for the people that want us to hate on and be like, yeah, this movie fucking sucks, Cal's a whore.
Yeah, well, I mean, her traps weren't big enough for Brian Lee, but whatever, they never will be.
She needs work on her delts!
All right, folks, I've been your host, Jeff Hicks.
I'm the man with the plan, the original tan, Toot Toot DeAngry.
Couldn't have slice. I loved a DC movie. Well, didn't love it. It was good.
And I once loved a woman who wasn't clean.
Oh, shit.
God, I'm just joking. That's a line from Bad Santa.
No, that's a topic for another podcast, folks. Tune in for episode 98.75, where Jeff details how he got the clap.